All righty. Get Mike out of the way. That sounds bad. Good to see everybody. If you are a guest with us, we are looking at a series of lessons that, at least in my way of thinking, are some of the most important things that I've ever put together to preach. Because what we're talking about, what I'm trying to share with you from my experience and my Bible knowledge and understanding, is how do you have a relationship with God? And are we really doing it? Are we really trying to make it happen? Do we even care that it happens? And that's kind of what these signs up here are about. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's ask God to help us. Father, we love you. We thank you for all you do to take care of us. You've given us another day. Father, we want to use this day to glorify you. Father, give us opportunities to speak for you, to be a witness for you. Help us not to miss it. Father, use us. Guide us now in this study. We want your will to be done. Open our hearts and minds up that we'll learn and change and share. Thank you, Father, again for loving us so much. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Having a relationship, any long-term relationship, is one of the hardest things that we do in life. Because it gets so easy to take it for granted. It gets so easy to not invest in it. And wow, it's just tough. It's difficult to do. I've noticed on Facebook sometimes when I'm scrolling through it, I usually do that while I'm watching the news because I don't care a whole lot about either one of them, so I split my attention. And I love listening or looking at it, and I'm amazed at how many things are about which celebrity is marrying which celebrity. And you know, when I got to thinking about that, I thought, do you ever wonder why celebrities marry other celebrities? It's not because they're in the same line of business. I'm sure that has something to do with it. But I would guess a big part of it is, how do you know that somebody is not wanting to marry you because you're famous and because you're rich, right? I mean, how do you know? You had that problem when you got married, right? No, you probably didn't. I didn't either. And I mean, it's just, you know, relationships are difficult. They're struggles. They're, one of the great struggles in life. I love the old preacher story. I know most of you have heard it. I'm going to tell it anyways. Sally was married four times. She goes to heaven after dying, having a great life. And the angel at the gate says, Sally, you've been married four times. What's going on here? You married a banker, an actor, a pastor, and an undertaker. That doesn't seem appropriate for a Christian. She said, no, it's exactly what you need. One for the money. One for the money. One for the show. One to get ready and one to go. I mean, she's got them all covered. Well, you know, we can laugh at that. And we need to. I'm glad some of you did because I know you've heard it. But the thing about it is, you know, where's the relationships? It's what can I get out of it, right? What's it going to do for me? And that's what we're dealing with this morning. The original purpose for God wanting his people to get together was very simple and very direct. He said, listen, I want you people to get together, and I want you to support each other, and I want you to grow in love for each other, because by learning to love each other, you're going to learn to love God. That's what it really was all about. That's how simple it was. God wanted his people to learn what love was. And he said, we do that by learning to be together and love each other. You remember Deuteronomy 6. From the very beginning, what is it God wanted? He wants his people to love him deeply. And then you get over into Mark 12, and what does Jesus say when he recites that? He quotes it almost exactly. Yeah, it's all about loving God. But the second is like unto it. Remember that? Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, folks, that's bottom line theology. That's what God wants ultimately from all of us. You know, God is actively seeking us. And he wants us to get together and learn about love so that we can again learn about him. I created a new word last week. This is it, Godship. And you won't find it on Wikipedia, or you won't find it in Webster or any of those places, because I made it up. But what I did with that word, as I mentioned last week, I believe we need a word that kind of describes the whole process of what we are doing and what we're all about in learning to love God. Godship is a strong personal connection with God. It's not just, you know, it's not just something that is occasional. It's not something that is weekly, no matter how you spell the word week. It's something much bigger than that. And this is a very powerful thing when you think about it, what God is doing here. And I want you to recognize, did you realize that God was after us? You remember Acts 17, Paul said, God did this so that we would seek him. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. We talked about that last week. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 6. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. That's verse 40. Skip down to verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Now, I'm sharing that just because I want to make the point that God is calling us. God is drawing us. God is after us. Now, if you have your Bible with you, go over to Philippians, the second chapter. And let's read a couple of verses here, verse 12 and 13. Now, you know part of this, you could probably quote it, right? But listen to the language. Therefore, my dearest friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you who will and to act according to his good purpose. So let me see if I hear you right, Paul. You're saying I need to keep after it. Don't stop. Keep working on that relationship with God. And you know what's happening while you're working on that relationship with God? He's doing the same thing with you. And we read that in James last week. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us, right? This is something that is part and the whole, really, of what God's will really is for us. Now, I've said all that. I made up another word last week over here. I made up the word churching. And it's an unusual word, but there's a reason I have it up here in a seat all by itself in a comfy little church seat, right? The only thing that would be more appropriate is if I had it backwards so you could look at the back of its head. But what do I mean by churching? What I mean by churching is that it gets easy to get caught up in doing church and not understanding the why of church. Churching is a strong connection to church, but it may not necessarily or automatically mean we have a strong connection with God. I mean, after all, we're doing church. We're not really trying to connect with God. No, the reason we do church is so that we can know how to connect with God. That's why it happens. And that's why I kind of like using that word here. We have to recognize that, again, we can easily be caught up in the business of looking like a church person, but where's the relationship? And by the way, if you don't have a relationship with God's people, do you really have a relationship with God? And there are people who go to church their whole lives and don't want to get to know anybody. I'm going to church because it's what you do when you're a church person. But I don't have to get to know them, do I? Do I need to get to love them? Well, yeah. That was the whole purpose of doing it. So I've said all that because I want us to recognize that if you truly want a personal relationship with God, there are, at least in my way of thinking, there are four distinct steps, and this is what I've been talking about. I hope my marker works. Come back here. What a catch. We talked last week about there is no relationship if you do not seek it. I mean, after all, we run into people all the time, don't we? I mean, day in and day out. But who is it that we end up getting to know and have a relationship with and caring about? It's the ones we want because we pursue it. And that's what I was talking about last week, is desiring God and pursuing God, seeking God, because after all, that's what he wants. He says that's what pleases him, and what pleases him makes him reward those who do it, right? That's what we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Now, step number two is what I want to talk about this morning. Think about it for a second. Can you really have a relationship with anybody if you are not willing to serve them? And if you're not willing to serve, then you're after something besides a relationship. You're after somebody who will be your servant, right? And we know how devastating that can be. I've asked three ladies to come up here and help me this morning. So Donna and Mildred and Jerry, come on up wherever you are. Don't hide. Come on up here. Now, what I want to do, I'm thankful so much that they're willing to help me with this, be my guinea pigs, my servants on this. What I want to do is I want to very logically, you got her? Come on up here. Nobody wants to sit with the microphone. What I want to do is before I give you my points, what we mean when we talk about this essential step of having a relationship with God, we got to seek it, but then we got to start building it, which means the element of serving. I want to compare it to what is a natural part of the marriage relationship, right? I want us to recognize that this is what we do, even though we don't know what to call it or don't know what it is. It's still something that we've got to do, right? So let me introduce it. I'm going to ask a question and then I'm going to make the point. Okay, let's go ahead and start. Who's first? We got Don up here. Here's my first question. Back when you were dating, what's his name? Me. I better qualify because you did date somebody besides me. when you were dating, all three of you, back when you were dating before you got married, what is something that he did that made it clear to you that he really was after you, that he was serious about you? So just give me one example, each of you.
Well, I lived about 10 miles outside of town on country roads, and Mike did not have a car. And so he talked his friend into giving him a ride out to see me. And, over the dirt roads, Mike thought he was, what's that movie where you hear the banjos playing? I think he thought he was going there. But I knew then he was serious.
Well, when he say he would come by, he would come. Because if he didn't.
So he learned who was boss real quick. Jerry?
Well, I didn't know this until after John and I got married. But I wasn't sure about the relationship when we first kind of started going out a little bit. But John fasted for 2 weeks to ask God if I was the person for him and that God would show him that.
Wow.
And the day that he came off his fast was the day that I invited him over for dinner.
Well, that was a treat on a couple of levels. No, very good, very good. Well, see, I gave him a chance to think about that a little bit because I want us to recognize how natural it is. It's a part of everything we do, right? So here's the point I want us to get. I talked about the first step, second step. In terms of a relationship with God, it means we serve because we are seeking. If I say I'm seeking God, then that by its very nature means there's something I've got to do to serve God as a direct part of that seeking. I mean, it's what you do when you want a relationship. Like I said, I got my best friend to give me a ride out there in the country, and it really was way out in the country, through two creeks and driving up to go see Donna. I talked to him. I said, you might get to date Donna's sister. He was kind of hoping for that. That's what did it. But, we do. Every one of you here have got stories of things that you did. And by the way, not just marriage, but even in friendship. when you want to be friends with somebody, you are liable to do something to show that you care about them by serving them. You may take them to lunch. You may buy them a book. You may give them something that is important to you. But here's the key. It's identifying with the character of God. If I'm seeking God, I cannot understand what that means without serving, because that's what God does. The character of God is that God gives. And if I'm going to have any relationship with God, I've got to start understanding that character of God, and I've got to be willing to give. So it's not, oh man, what am I going to do now? Lord, do you really want me to do that? You know, rather than I didn't say that about all the weird things I did to try to date Donna. You know, I was more than happy to do it. I wanted her to tell me things I could do to show how much I really wanted to go after it. And see, here's the key. Because the very nature of seeking, desiring it, means whatever I do, no regrets. No regrets, right? Not only that, no limits, right? No limits. I mean, even after Donna and I got engaged, I couldn't afford an engagement ring. But man, before I left to spend the summer over in Holland with some missionaries, I went down to a jewelry store and I financed one of those things. I was going to put a ring on her finger. Before I left, I didn't want anybody else looking at her and not realize she was taken. So there's no limit. And you know what the other part of that is? Not only are there no regrets and no limits, it's all joy. Whatever I got to do, whatever I've got to pay for, whatever I have to say, it's just what I do, because that's what it means to be a serving person who is seeking a relationship. Now let's go to the second question real quickly here. Let me give this one to you. What does he do to make it clear right now that he loves you? What's something he does right now that you say, wow, he really does love me?
John is very consistent in how he treats me very well. Even our boys would say, when we've gotten together for just different occasions, when they would encourage John, if it's his birthday, we try to do words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that they say is they will say, I love how you treat my mom.
Yeah. So. And that means a lot coming from your kids, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I started making a list of things that Mike does that I feel like are for me. And I thought, well, they're probably for him too, but then I got to looking at some, you know, all the different lists of things, and I thought, you know, he dusts. He dusts the shelves and all the knickknacks and stuff, and he vacuums. And so far as acts of service, he buys me gifts that I won't buy myself because I think they're too expensive. But he knows I like them, so he will do that. One of the first thing that I wrote down too was that he encourages me. He tells me I can do anything that I set my mind to. So he's my biggest fan, and he encourages me every day.
Amen.
Well, mine's no, he spoiled me. I was spoiled when he got me, but he even spoiled me even more. And it's nothing that I could want that he doesn't try to get for me in the jewelry. Mm-hmm. Yes, he buys me good stuff. And no, how about him?
Yes. We don't need any more examples. We'll get a few more examples there. But you know, there's so true about that when you think about it. You know, back when I was going to Colorado every year, started 30 years ago hunting, every now and then people at church will say, well, what does Donna get to do? And I'd say, well, she supports me going hunting. And that's kind of a neat thing to do. And people, well, she ought to get her, you know, her part that she gets to have because you got that. And she never, ever thought that way. Never, ever thought that way. But you know what I always told people? I said, if Donna ever said she wanted something with the same passion that I wanted to go hunting, I would make it happen. I would. If she said I needed that mink coat, I would say, we can't afford it. But I will make it happen. I will. I'll make it happen. I've gone in debt to do a lot of things. I will go in debt to make my wife happy anyway. Don't even think about it. So here's what I want you to get, okay? A relationship with God means serving because we're seeking. It's just part of seeking. But here's number two. A relationship with God means we are serving out of love. Again, now we're a little bit beyond just saying, God, I want to prove to you that I love you or that I want a relationship. Now I'm trying to prove to you that I love you. So these acts of love, what are these acts of love that God is looking for? We're talking about, at the very least, a deeper understanding of thankfulness. Brethren, I believe with all of my heart that's the key to any spiritual growth that you and I want to have. We will never rise any higher than our spirit of thankfulness. Because thankfulness is recognizing what God does. And God does stuff for us all day long. And the more we think about that and the more we talk to him about that, the greater the relationship is going to be. How can we not respond to God's love and God's giving? You know, I've read it many, many times in different sermons. You know, everybody remembers Romans 12:1. Present your body as a living sacrifice, right? Which is the definition of worship, a living sacrifice, not 1 hour on Sunday. But did you realize in chapter 11, the verses leading up to it, literally is saying, oh, the depth of the riches of God's love. And what Paul is doing is he's describing what an awesome God we've got. And that's why he ends it by saying, and present your body as a living sacrifice to him. How can you not when you realize what God is doing for you and through you? Such a beautiful thing when you think about it. And I think it involves a deeper understanding of the character of God. You know, I've mentioned this last week even. We could probably quote John 3:16 backwards. But do you really have a sense that God loves you? Amen. Yes. I mean, personally, yes. Wow. If you haven't seen the movie Overcomer, you need to go see that. It's best religious movie that group has done. It's powerful. It's very touching. But there's a 15-year-old girl here who doesn't. She thinks her dad's dead and dropped her off when she was a baby and doesn't even exist anymore. So she doesn't know what dad's love is. And the principal of the Christian school says, you know, there's another dad who loves you. And she explains to her that God loves her. And literally leads her into a desire to want to know God and have a relationship with God. It's very powerful. But you know, I thought when I heard that at the movies yesterday, I thought, man, I wonder how many of us have had that encounter where we really stop and say, wow, God really does love me. You see what I think we're lacking? And I'll go to the last point, I promise. I think we need a deeper understanding of God as Dad. That's what I was talking about last week. The Holy Spirit in us in Romans 8 says we start crying out, Abba, Father. And that's the result of a relationship with God. That's the father of the prodigal son that we're supposed to be getting to know. That's our mental image of that dad waiting and wanting us back and welcoming us and partying. That's the God that Jesus wanted us to know. Amen. So before we look at the last point, one last question. This is a tough one. It's a tricky one. I want to ask you one last question here. What is something that he does for you that you know he'd just as soon not do?
Well, we've been together so long that he just learned.
He's learned to like it.
What I like. And my next thing is to say is, a happy life is a happy wife.
There you go.
He was so funny. Well, it's not his favorite thing to do, but one of my favorite things to do is to go to Disney World. And he will go with me even though his feet hurt, he's tired, and he will stay all day with me. Don't we need to go back to the hotel and rest? No, we got to keep going. We're at Disney.
That's true.
John will go with me to the mall, even though it took a long time for me to know that he didn't even like going to the mall. Just one day he said, I guess I was taking too long in a store, and I said, I thought you liked going to the mall. He said, no, not really. So that's
what you do when you love somebody, right? Well, let's give them a round of applause. Thank you guys for being up here and helping. Don't worry about that. I'll give it to Jerry. Thank you guys very much. Thank you so much. I knew they would do a good job with that. But obviously, let me put Jerry's microphone on too here down. A relationship with God means complete devotion. And the reason why I'm separating the word devotion and love is because devoted love is the kind of love that will make you do something you don't want to do. And all you got to do is look at Jesus, right? I mean, how can you not hear those words in the garden? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I mean, how could he do that? Well, he loved us, but it was a deep love. It was a devoted love. It was a very beautiful kind of love. I want to read something to you that we've looked at many, many times. If you got your Bible with you, go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And I read this regularly, but I want you to hear the mesh between what it means to say I've got a relationship with God and what it means in terms of a relationship with God's people. You see, that's where I think a lot of times our inconsistency comes in. Oh, I love God. If I just didn't have to mess with those people up there, and right? You may never say that, but we act that way sometimes, right? I love the language here that he uses. I guess I better get over there myself if I'm going to read it. He says, beginning down at verse, let me get out of Hebrews here. I promise you I know where my Bible is. There it is. Let's pick up about verse 7 down there in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, I love that, don't you? You just, hey guys, come on. Listen, let us love one another, for love comes from God, right? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, that's the inconsistency of separating something here. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, it's kind of like he's saying, do you get it yet? Come on. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Wow, man, I could really get into a relationship with God if I could just see God, if I could just be with him. And you know, when you think about what he's saying, if I present my body as a living sacrifice to God, I'm going to be in touch with God and what he does, and I cannot separate that from his people. In fact, if you go back to chapter 3 of 1 John, he says, this is love, that we obey his commands. What are his commands? That we believe on Jesus, his Son, and we love one another. That's his description of what it means to be obedient to God. And all these years, I thought it was a whole list of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. Believe in Jesus, his Son, and love one another. Love covers a multitude of sins, right? Nothing else does that. Nothing else does that. Now, that being said, brethren, please listen. If you've slept through part of this, you can wake up right now. I'm closing. Please get this. You can't separate God from his people. You just can't. Now, if you can read that verse and read into that, I don't know how you can do it. But you see, here's what we've got to understand. If you're not interested in knowing God's people and loving God's people, the chances are you're really not very interested in knowing God. And what we're talking about here is honestly saying, I want a relationship with God. And so that means I got to desire it, and that means that I've got to show him that I love him. How do I show him I love him? He told me very clearly, we love one another. Oh, I just want to do for God. That's how you do for God, right? That's what God is looking for. That's what God is getting. By the way, what did Jesus say? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. In other words, it's something that's constant. It's a process that's going on. And that's what I want to close with. I want to close with that idea of us getting the right mentality of what a process means here, okay? You know, when I was thinking about this, we haven't put this up in a long time. This is our spiritual growth chart that we came up with several years ago. But what it's talking about is how we can know where we are in our spiritual walk with God. We start out connected to God's people. But again, if that's not growing to where we start caring about God's people, what are we? We're just sort of connected. But what is that connection and that caring supposed to lead to? It's supposed to lead to a level of commitment. Why? Because we're growing in God. We're helping each other grow in God. That's what it's all about. The amazing thing about this is simplicity, because that is the definition of a relationship. Every person that's married, every person that has a best friend, you went through all three of these. You connected, then you started caring, and then you were committed. We became best friends. We became husband and wife. We became brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever it is, that's what we're talking about. It's a process. Now, here's what I want us to get. Marriage, as a marriage ceremony, is the public stating of a covenant of commitment to one another. Amen. That's why we do it. Now, hopefully that commitment was there long before you even said it publicly. But that's why we do marriage ceremonies. It's a vocalizing of a public commitment to each other until death do us part. Amen. And you know the amazing thing when I think about that? When I become a child of God, God says, you need to be committed to me and I'll be committed to you until death we do unite. At death, we finally get to be with God completely, wholly. And I want you to understand, brethren, again, as we finish, we're talking about a process. I'm in a process. I haven't arrived anywhere. I haven't got everything totally figured out. I'm certainly not perfect. I want to do God's will. Then we got to learn. We got to grow. We got to become. But you know what? That's going to be filled with struggles. That's the definition of what a relationship is. It's filled with struggles. And it's in the overcoming of those struggles that you and I deepen those relationships. When I have struggles in my relationship with God and he helps me through it and I come back, I'm like, wow, God, you're incredible. I love you so much more. And if it hadn't have been for that struggle or that trial or whatever it was, I might not be that connected to God. And brethren, you see, that's the difference. A real relationship with God as opposed to going through the motions. If you're just going through the motions, you're struggling. You're struggling. But if you want a relationship with God, if you want Godship, I couldn't help all week long as I was thinking about that. I kept thinking of that song. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Wow. See, that's the difference. Over there, I don't have any hourly, daily need necessarily. But in my walk with God, I have it all the time. And I got to come back to it. I got to every now and then just bounce back and say, well, I forgot, Lord. I got a little distracted. So I don't know where you are in your walk with God this morning. What do you need to do to get back into a sense of God as a loving Father that you want a deep relationship with? And quit going through the motions of doing churching and start getting on with the business of Godship, having a deep relationship with God. What do you need? Pray about it. You don't necessarily have to tell anybody else, but pray about it where you are. And like we do every week, some of our shepherds are going to be around the room. You don't even have to come down front. You don't have to say anything public unless you want to. We want to help you if we can. But the shepherds are there so that you can just do something. Talk with them. Pray with them. Let them pray with you. And let them help you get back connected to God and get that relationship going like you need. And certainly, you know, as a church family, if we can help you begin that walk with God, renew that relationship with God, pray for you in any way, Let us know, won't you, while together we stand and sing?